views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Hi, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm Steve Kramer.
And I'm Tim Darter.
It's great to be with you. We have a great show today. We are going to be talking about the step of Spirit Fire's practice of living awareness meditation. The step within the practice is called soften, open, and receive. So here on Spirit Fire Radio, each week we take a different step of our meditation practice, which has 14 steps, and we talk to somebody whose life or their profession, their passion, really emulates the step that we're on during the practice. So this week is soften, open, and receive. It's one of my favorite steps of the practice. It's really when you start to feel your body accept the breath and you feel your rib cage open. We take practitioners during the meditation practice really through this idea of softening the rib cage, softening your body to allow the breath in, to open and to receive. And you can really sort of sense energetically, are you in a receptive mood? Are you really receptive to this practice of meditation? Are you receptive to the day? Are you feeling like you're open to all that you're ready to experience? And then you can translate that into your life. And what I love about this step is it really speaks for creative people. I mean, really, when you are going to sort of be open to the fodder of creativity, you need to be open to the moment. You need to be able to receive all that's happening around you. A quote from our website, which talks about this step, says, "Softening makes one receptive and magnetic to meditative experiences. Softening is necessary to experience union." And so really the creative life is about union. It's about really enjoying the experience, really taking the experience in, and then bringing it into the creative process and talking about it through whatever medium it is that you use. So today we are going to talk to Tom Yoder, who is an amazing guitarist, someone whose music Tim and I both love. So, yeah. Tim, tell us a little bit about Tom.
Sure. So, Tom Yoder, he's released 5 studio recordings, and we're going to hear some of those songs on today's show. And he's won 2 independent music awards in the New Age category, and his songs have been featured on NPR's All Things Considered. We love All Things Considered. And he was a finalist for the Great American Song Contest, and the list goes on. And his holiday music is a favorite here around Spirit Fire, and not just at the holidays. He's a master of the acoustic guitar, highly sought-after teacher, and we're excited to have him on the show today. Welcome, Tom. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you with us. So the creative process.
Full disclosure here, Steve's my cousin, just so you know.
Oh, man. We are out of the bag. All right. We're just going to talk about that. Tom is my cousin, and I used to torture him when I was young, and I used to.
Not at all. Steve was one of the nicest kids ever in the history of ever, and that's no kidding.
I still try to hang on to that kid aspect. The nice part, you know, I try really hard to hang on to that too. But, yeah. You know, it was always fun to go to my cousin's house, especially to be around Tom, because he always had a guitar in his hand. And really, we will have to talk about the organ now. And his family just had wonderful, wonderful instruments that we used to just abuse. I don't know how they didn't cringe. We used to just grab the guitars and strum on them and strum on them and strum on them. And so you had
great. I remember you and Chris playing the piano, man. You guys would play the Sting. You guys would play the Entertainer, excuse me, by Scott Yes. Thompson from the Sting. Anyway, sorry, I had to interrupt you.
I think it's all I can play is Silent Night. Silent Night and The Sting. Those are my 2 songs. So, Tom, you know, you have really taken it to the hilt. I mean, you still are playing music. Your music is inspiring still. It is, you know, in the words of so many people who have reviewed your albums, you're a master of the acoustic guitar. I mean, truly, you are an artist and just an amazing songwriter. So, you know, is it meditative for you? Let's just like go right off the bat and say, when you've got your hands on a guitar and the music is flowing, does the space feel meditative? Does that mean anything to you when I say that?
Sure, of course it does. You know, sometimes I guess it isn't. A lot of times it isn't. I mean, it is. Everything is. I mean, anything you do is, right? I mean, that's a hard question for me, but
I know. Because
sorry.
What is meditative?
I'll try not to waver too much here, but I mean, there are times when if you're talking about you go into a different space and you're not really feeling like what you would consider to be, you know, our reality at this moment. Sure, there are moments like that. Are there many? For me, there haven't been. But it doesn't mean it's not meditative or zen-like or whatever, because whether or not almost all the time I play, there's a purpose behind it. And not necessarily to make people this or that. I mean, it's a purpose for me, really. You know, I might be practicing something, so focusing on a particular technique or trying to get a particular tone or write something or whatever. So there's always a, to me, I always, how do I say it the right way? Almost always there's a goal behind it. Now, that's not always reached, and maybe you go off on little things here and there. But as far as practice is concerned, for sure, there's always a purpose behind it. And sometimes it can be very meditative. I think, though, in the classic sense that people think about, oh, I pick up the guitar and I play and, you know, and it gets me my mind off the work of my work and a bit. That's great. That's super. It is my work, along with, you know, music is what I do. So in that sense, you know, there's definitely a work aspect to it to me, but that is not a negative thing at all. I love it. And it's, go ahead. Sorry.
It's really poignant what you just said. I love what you just said, because there's a huge misconception about meditation, and I'm sorry to have just like put you right.
No, go for it. Yeah.
You know, that question was such a loose question. But you know, so many people sit down to meditate and they think, oh, I'm sitting down to meditate and this is going to be such an amazing experience. And why am I not having this really amazing experience? My mind's going crazy. I feel worse than I feel worse than I did before I sat down to meditate. And this is supposed to be such an easy, sort of beautiful experience. And my mind's going crazy.
And it is. The thing is, it is. The thing, you just have to let those thoughts go through. That's like the whole thing, because it's like existence and what it's just observing your moment and being in it and then moving to the next one, whatever it may be. If you don't want that, acknowledge it, but just let it pass through, keep going, that kind of thing. It's the same thing with playing guitar or practicing or whatever. You know, you're trying to stay on a path for the most part, you know, and let good things happen, hopefully. Yeah.
And that's creative. Yeah. And be creative and create a song. Yeah. I also love that you said, I'm usually focusing on something. It's interesting. You know, that's step number two, basically, of the practice. You've got to be able to focus on something. If you're going to create anything, there's got to be intention. There's got to be a will behind it. You've got to say, well, I'm going to sit down and create music. Now, what do I need to focus on to make that happen? And,
the key word you're saying is practice, too, because it's all practice. Go ahead.
All practice. That's why it's called the practice of living awareness.
Exactly. Yes. Because that's what you're doing. Yeah.
You're totally doing that. And you know, you've really got a goal. And I love that. You know, when we really sit down in meditation, what we're doing is we're saying, well, you know, I'd like to bring this into my life. I'd like to open myself up to sort of understanding more about my mind. It's really intricate. There's something there to it. You know, there's a lot to learn. So, you know, there is so much to learn with music. I cannot even begin to tell you how little I know about music. You know, I was trained as a visual artist, and I'm always awestruck. When I even see somebody read music, I am just sort of blown away that they can even do it.
When you look at a scene or something like that, what do you see? I'm blown away by people that draw or paint or whatever. And now there's all kinds of ways of doing that. But that see, like, people sometimes see what's in between things as opposed to the actual thing. And I don't know how to do that. So point being, and I am interrupting you, I am sorry, but
that's all right.
But it's just your perspective of what you're choosing to work on. So, I mean, like reading music is just like, you know.
Oh, I mean, totally. I agree. And you know, I have great respect for dancers because I'm not a dancer.
I
have great respect for is the creative process. Being an artist myself, I love the creative process. But I will tell you one thing, Tom Yoder. I have not sat down and rebuilt Michelangelo's creation of man. You, on the other hand, have taken on works of the masters. So we are going to go to a break, and before the break and after the break, we're going to listen to a little bit of your masterful playing. You know, you've got an entire album that takes on the classics. I mean, we're going to hear a bit of Vivaldi's Allegro, and it's just astounding. So we'll go to a break. We're going to hear a bit about that and talk about what it takes to really take on the masters. We'll be right back on Spirit Fire Radio.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
On Radio, Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit LucidPlanetRadio.com for more information.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit GlennaRice.com.
Almost everyone at some time in their lives ask themselves, what am I? Most of our questions are ego-generated and simply don't address the problem of our false self. It's time to relax your ego and embody your soul. Dr. Dan Cohen, neurologist, inventor, and author, has created tools to awaken, a new way to transform from who you thought you were into what you truly are. Visit toolstoawaken.com today.
Thank you.
Spirit Fire Radio, where today's guest is Tom Yoder.
Yes, and you were listening to a bit of Vivaldi's Allegro. So, Tom, you basically reconstructed these songs for guitar, for acoustic guitar, and
Electric guitar.
Yeah, so I mean, an entire album of masterpieces. I mean, really of orchestras. The name of the album is Twisted Circles and the Theory of Everything, and it honors symphonic music of the masters: Bach, Mozart, Vivaldi. I mean, you really deconstructed these and put these back together, and you're playing entire orchestras yourself. Yeah.
Yes.
Well.
Great answer.
Yes, you make it. Yes. Is it that simple? So tell us about this. I mean, what was inspiring and what was challenging and how did you go about this process?
Well, first of all, the whole thing was challenging. That's first off. Why? Ever since I was a kid, I've loved symphonic music. Now I've loved all music. I really have. But when I was a kid, I remember, my dad or mom, one of the two, whatever, had a triple album of Beethoven piano sonatas. And I remember listening to that and just loving it. And a bunch of other stuff too, you know, that I can't just think of right offhand. But, you know, just a mishmash of things. But I always
What was it you loved about it? Yeah, I mean, did it just take you someplace?
It was just beautiful. It was just gorgeous. Just the tone, I guess, is probably the first thing. And in fact, that's what it would be if I really thinking inwardly, it would just be the sound of the key, you know, the sound of the string vibrating from the, you know, key being pressed down, and just how that sounded just amazing to me and just sort of enveloped me and really sucked me in. And then, you know, as you go on, you know, strings sound amazing. And of course I loved all kinds of rock music and whatnot. I mean, but I won't get off here too much, but the whole thing about sound and everything, the reason I play guitar is there's a fellow named Mick Ralphs. He played in a band called Mott the Hoople. Then he later formed Bad Company with a guy named Paul Rogers. But anyway, my brother brought home this album called All the Young Dudes, and this record changed my life. That, several other ones too, but this one really did because of the tone that Mick Ralphs had. So I don't want to go way off on that because I want to stay on what you're asking about. But
even that song, if you think about the intro to that song, I mean, I'm just sort of hearing in my head, you know, it's really dramatic. I mean, sound is really, it is otherworldly. It really takes you somewhere.
It really does. And tone does that to me. Tone does. If it's a beautiful sound, then I'm hooked. I mean, I'm a sucker at that point. So anyway, back to the, I want to answer your question or whatever. Yes, very challenging. Why'd I do it? Because I love that kind of stuff. And I always have, and it's always been my first love is music. In music, it always has been symphonic music. As far as eras go, I'm a big classical era fan, Baroque too, and Romantic. And I love the Impressionists. I mean, I like it all, I guess, actually. But my favorite, I guess, would be the classical era, which Mozart would be my favorite composer. That's why on the disc there's like, you know, it's mostly Mozart stuff.
You know, Tom, can I interrupt? I want to tell listeners that this album is just through the roof. I mean, you can imagine this man has taken this music apart and rearranged it to play string instruments that weren't intended to be guitars. I'm sure that process has to be sort of tedious. And he is taking apart these symphonies and replaying them on his own. And the mastery involved. I mean, we just heard a little bit of Spring, and it's incredible. It's so moving, so beautiful. There's so much integrity there. And you know what? I have a little quote in front of me. I'd love to read. You know, there was David Hodge of Guitar Noise said this about that album. He said, "What I find myself marveling at each time I listen to this is how much the gimmick of this disc, the playing of all the parts by guitars, makes me not think about guitars at all. Rather, I find myself totally caught up in the music itself. I've heard guitarists who have made me marvel at the guitar as an instrument, and way too many whose music is all about putting the focus on the guitarist. But with Twisted Circles and The Theory of Everything, Tom Yoder manages to put the music itself first and frontmost, and the results are awe-inspiring. So now, that was
one of the things I would say about that is,
beautiful.
Okay, I didn't write the tunes, so that's why the music is so good, you know? That's, you know.
Right. But, you know, you've got to find the reverence. You know, there's reverence. We say that word a lot, reverence. You know, so talk about softening, opening, and receding. I mean, you've got to really take in this symphony. And then what I'd love to actually hear about as well is, how much of it do you feel is then making it your own? Or is it really just a tribute? Is it a total tribute you're paying off? And you, you know, do you find yourself sort of in the space of the master themselves?
It is absolutely a tribute. I don't think I could ever even stand in, you know, I mean, those guys, I mean, forget it. That's just the greatest writers and whatnot ever. So right. I would never even presume to even be in that area. But thankfully, the music is there. I like it, have appreciation for it. And one of the things I always wanted to do ever since I played guitar, started playing guitar, was do stuff where you just do it all on guitar and just build up basically like a symphony of guitar. And I always wanted to do that. So when I finally got, I did it in Logic Pro. So when I finally got that and got up and going, doing this stuff really helped me with that, because I was very much a novice in the software, you know, the digital audio workstation. And doing that, man, it took a year to do the record, you know, and wow. Because I was learning the whole way along, and I had a couple really great people, you know, give me a lot of help, I mean, it's kind of weird for me to listen to it now, because you know, that's been a while ago, but it was a great learning experience. And no matter what, those tunes are great tunes. I'll tell you, my favorite one on there is Der Zauberflöte there, which is the magic flute. It's an opera by Mozart. The overture to an opera by Mozart, that and the Marriage of Figaro. But anyway, because of what I had to do with it I had to extend notes, and I did that by reversing files and things like that. So yes, I used the digital world to, you know, to help make the guitar maybe a little bit more than it was. And I have no issue with that whatsoever. So it was a great learning experience, and I felt like sonically it worked itself out pretty well. And my wonderful dear friend Mike Gardner and my other good friend Brad Spiker really, really helped me with that a lot. And
wonderful.
Anyway.
I want to tell the listeners that, you know, if you're listening to this and you even want to you can go to iTunes and search Tom Yoder, Yoder. You can also go to
There's two Tom Yoders too. So if you get one that there's like sort of is sort of a folky kind of guy, that's not me. Anyway, go ahead.
And just give these, you know, obviously in the digital age, this allows you to listen to a piece of the music. You will be blown away. I mean, the amount of work that you can tell goes into this. What would you rate that album? Do you give yourself a good grade, Tom?
I give it a C. That's a passing grade.
I just wanted to see how, you know, artists are always
said. It was my first real try. So, I mean, it's not for me to do that. I like it in that the songs are great, and I look at it as it's a special place for me, because it really did allow me to, it was a great vehicle to learn how to really start getting it together with learning how to record on my own and whatnot.
Life offers you that, you know, when you really need to learn something. They say that about teaching, you know, anytime you want to really learn something, become a teacher of it, you know, and I know you teach this to others, and my goodness, do you learn to perfect your skills when you've got to teach it to somebody else? So life always present that to you. Life will always give you the challenge to sort of give you the impetus to move through, to learn, to evolve, to grow as an artist, which you've certainly done. So, you know, we're going to go to a break soon. We're going to play another song before the This is called The Day After Tomorrow, and it can tell us a little, you know, when we come back, I want to talk about the digital age and the difference for you playing live and then also playing on a computer. I mean, my goodness, it's all changed so much in the past few years. I mean, Tim and I sat around and we played a little, got a little song going just with all the instruments and loops we use on GarageBand, and trust me, we are not musicians. No. So we're going to listen to a little bit of that song before and after the break, and then we're going to talk about moving into the digital age and what that means for you as an artist, as a teacher, and as a songwriter. So we'll be right back with more of Tom Yoder on Spirit Fire Radio.
There are so many resources out there for meditation, but did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Vadili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's A-T-A-A-N-A method.com, and sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit lynnbrownevent.com. That's lynnbrownevent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine, and my show is Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com. When we're bogged down with our emotions, the hardships that plague us in our relationships, at work, our finances, we literally can't see the higher plane where we could be operating from. Tune in to Leslie Fontaine, Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. That was a song called Today After Tomorrow by guitarist, songwriter, musician Tom Yoder. What a beautiful song. That song actually reminds both Tim and I of our of our theme music. You know, we searched and searched. Tom, I think we even wrote to you and said, hey, can we have a couple tunes? We need some original music for our theme. And that was really in the running. So I love that song. It's not released yet. It's not on an album. That's a new one. So it was a pleasure to hear it. And you know, Tom, it wants me to ask you, how has the digital age changed the way you create music? Well, first I want to ask this. Okay, in a lot of your music, there's drums, basically you're playing every instrument yourself. If you've learned to play acoustic guitar, and this is, pardon me, you know, this is such a simple question. Pardon me for being simple. If you know how to play the guitar, do you automatically know how to play the drums and the xylophone and the cello, or it's strings really? But can you personally, have you learned, like if you're playing digitally, to play the saxophone and put that in? Is it really following the music, and has that the digital age changed that?
Well, the digital age has certainly changed it, and it is what you want it to be. And, you know, some people don't want to see it as something good, you know, because they just want to stay old school, which is cool. But it's what you want it to be. It's just like anything else. I personally love it. I think it's a help. I think it's a hindrance, both. It's a help because you can do anything, and you can do multiple takes, and you can say, you know what, let's take this section and put it there and that section and put it here. And you can put off decisions about what you're going to do. And that is great. And that's also horrible, you know, because there's a lot of credence to the, hey man, just get in there, plug it in, play it, go do it. And I love that too. It gives you the option.
When you say that, do you mean sort of what I heard from that is that at times you're really in your head and not so much in your heart, in the presence of being in the moment of that creative spark?
Yes,
that you're
actually
piecemealing.
Yes and no, but piecemealing is in your heart too. Because if you hear something and you go, you know, like it's all the same thing, man. It is all the same thing. I find that people that – I think a lot of people are scared of it. And there's nothing to be scared of.
It's because it's new.
Because it's new and because, it's new and different and all that. But if you hear something a certain way and you can move a section over there, then go ahead and do it. Because you know what? If I'm writing out music and I do write out music, sometimes I might go, you know what? I need to put that there. Guess what I do? I just write it over there then. So to me, it's the same thing. I mean, I don't see a difference. It's okay. It really is okay. You know, that's kind of, you know, I might be getting off the,
that's
off
okay.
the main
well,
thing there. But
I guess what I'm wondering is, so, you know, you wouldn't have to learn how to actually, you know, I learned how to play the trumpet when I was in the fifth grade. And my gosh, just for me to be able to use my lungs in that way to play a trumpet was like really challenging. My lips would go numb. And for me to just be able to press the key on my computer and hear a trumpet is a lot different than me holding this trumpet and learning how to like actually getting my lungs in shape.
Did Stravinsky play every instrument in the orchestra? Did Mozart play every instrument in the orchestra? Don't answer that. He probably did. But no, you know, everybody can play. You can't. But what do you have that you can put that instrument on? You have a keyboard, you have a piano. All right. That's why if you want to be a great writer or composer, I'm not talking about someone who just strums their guitar and sings folk songs. And that's great. I don't mean anything bad by that. But you know, if you want to be someone who's a serious writer and whatnot, you need to at least have a working knowledge of the piano. You do, because every instrument of the orchestra can be fit on somewhere on the keyboard. And therefore you can go, well, the trumpet part is this. Da, 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 da. Here's the cello part.
Again, because I really don't know about that. So every part can be fit on the keyboard, meaning you can find it on the sheet music and you could take the saxophone part and play it on the keyboard.
Yeah. Because the piano's range is so great that it covers all the instruments that you would find in the orchestra. You know, we can debate some things there, but
right. Okay.
As a general rule, it does. Okay.
So can the saxophone part be played on the guitar easily or not so much?
Yeah, you know, it's really great. The saxophone, man, if you want to learn some just freaking killer licks, man, learn sax licks on electric guitar, man. Like, whatever. I mean, like Charlie Parker, oh my gosh. Or, you know, in a more of a rock space, you know, like Edgar Winter or, you know, or Eddie – Oh, God, I forget his name. With the Stones Forever. But anyway, other instrument that you can put on another instrument is good for you. But sax really translates to the guitar. It's hard in places, but there's a lot of cool stuff that really works nicely. Yeah.
Well, you know, the sax really made the 80s. I always kind of listen to, like, what happened to the saxophone, you know, in music that
it's
I listen
there.
To? It was everywhere in the 80s. There wasn't a single, you know, even Bowie was using it. Well, he uses
saxophone. David Bowie played saxophone anyway. I mean, he played sax on all his records in the 70s. The easy sax lines, he said. Yeah. Hey, Bowie was, don't even get me started on David Bowie. Oof, man. Yeah.
Hey, listen, you know, there's so much I want to talk to you about. I think we could do two shows because, you know, Bowie and Prince both gone right next to each other. I mean, these men were musical geniuses. I mean, people say that the guitar, Prince's guitar was just an extension of him. You watch some of these videos of him playing the guitar live. It's insane. Talk about soften, open, and receive. The man is literally channeling and receiving, you know, he's just receiving that creative impulse. And it's flowing through him right to the guitar strings. I mean, have you've been in that zone, huh? Tell us.
I think that speaks to what I was saying earlier. I mean, okay, I don't want to offend you at all. But I'll try to say it this way. I mean, you aren't in his head. No offense. Don't take this the wrong way, okay? To him, he may be just like, oh man, I'm playing the same old tired, you know.
right.
You know, but the thing is, he's done it enough, did it enough, and he had enough of a vibe about being able to play and what worked and how things, you know, and practiced enough, you know. And by practice, I don't mean just like, duck, 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 duck. I mean, you know, he put himself in the situation and got his mind right, you know, so that even when things maybe weren't feeling to him like they were flowing through, they were feeling like it to you or whomever. And that's all that matters anyway, right?
So, well, right. And it allows us to like soften and open and receive his music. I mean, in all honesty, you're right. I mean, but you can make something look, I mean, it's as simple as this. My gosh, Tim and I, we just redid a whole section of the retreat center. And it's all beautiful and simple and gorgeous now. It looks like we did it in 5 minutes because it's all clean and perfect.
You know what?
The finished product is now there. There's the finished product, and it looks set, and it looks the way we intended it. But my God, the work we put into it, you'd never know. Just like you're saying with Prince, it takes so much work to create that thing that sounds so simple and looks so perfect. So
can I make a real quick couple points?
Yeah, go. Quote.
Okay. A lot of the stuff that I write, you know, I'll write and I might get this part and then sit it back. And then 6 months later, you come back to it and you go, oh, this will work with that. And it just works beautifully. I also read an interview with Sarah McLachlan who talked about every morning. And see, this is discipline and practice right here. She gets up and she writes, pen and paper writes. And she does it every single day. And she just, you know, gets this, you know, stuff. And then, you know, once again, 6 months later, she may come back and go, oh, this works with that. That works with this. And hey, I have these chord changes with that. But gee, I need this other part. And then maybe 2 weeks later, she comes back. Oh, that works. And it sounds so perfect and so just like she just sat down and did it.
But
she,
right. So,
you know, but that also, look, there's a lot to that. That's where someone who really works at something, someone who really cares about something, someone who can get themselves into a moment, who does have discipline and a love for something, that when they have these elements and they're part of them anyway, that they can start putting them together. And it does make sense, because if you look at it in terms of like a time thing, what is time anyway, right? I mean, we're looking at this linear thing going by, right? But is it necessarily that? I mean, if you look above time, if you could, right? Just look at it like you're above a river or something, then it's not necessarily a linear thing going past you. It's just this thing that you can stick your hand down in at any place along the line. So to think that our conception of linear time that we look at it right now changes like what this section would be and what that section would be as far as like how could they possibly fit together. No, man. It's all part of you, and it's all part of the universal mind, if you will, and whatnot. So, yeah. Of course, there's a nice flow to it because number one, you have someone who cares about it, someone that's working on it, and someone who's maybe obviously has studied it, whether it's in a formal academic setting or not, and that does their craft. And to me, that makes a ton of sense. Anyway, whatever.
Well, it's a great point. And we say that to people all the time that, listen, meditation is a practice. You know what I mean? It's an experience. You know, it's not a thought process. It's an experience. But it is coming back to that experience again and again and relearning it, re-experiencing it, making it your own, knowing what it is you would like to create out of this experience and seeing that that happens, which, you know, I hear that from you. And great points. I love, you know, exactly time. We, you know, you're talking meditation talk now. I mean, really, it's just we are in a place where we can receive, we can be inspired, we can look at the world around us, as you say, and, you know, you heard a symphony and it just looks so, it sounded so beautiful to you. You were inspired and said, this is what I want to do. I want to create this. You know, I want this around me all the time, which was me too. You know, I see certain colors and I see certain textures because I'm a visual artist and I think, oh, I want to be around that beautiful color all the time. Or I want to be around colors that inspire me and I want to be around. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'd love to come back to this thing of making it simple and that it's a lot of it, you know, really it is about work. It is about putting the time in. It's about knowing what you'd like to create because I want to talk about your Christmas music.
Sure.
My goodness, you've got two full albums of Christmas music. Tim, hello. We listen to Christmas.
A lot of our own albums. We create our own every year.
We're crazy.
Hey, well, just so you know, Mel Torme and, oh God, what's his name? Joe. I can't remember who co-wrote the Christmas song with them. That's terrible. I apologize. Anyway, they wrote that in July, just so you know.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because Christmas happens year round. And there's nothing actually in the middle of summer pulling out Christmas music because, you know, you don't sort of get all swept away with your own thoughts about Christmas. You actually can really listen to the music.
I think that's a great point. You're just listening to a nice melody or something that puts you in a happy space. And hey, man. God knows we need more of that. So I think that's great. Yeah.
Totally. So, you know, we're going to listen to some of your Christmas music. I love it. It's so sensitive and just right on. Talk about making something sound so simple. So here we go. Some beautiful Christmas music by Tom Yoder. Welcome back. That was White Christmas by Tom Yoder. It just makes me melt like butter. In that it's July. If it was December, I'd be freezing like butter. But it's so beautiful, Tom. What is it about Christmas that you love?
That has really changed through the years. I used to, you know, when I was a kid, I loved Christmas because you got presents, man, and it was fun. And it was in the middle of winter, which was fun because it meant you were off school and all that, and you know, and it was just fun. And
later on, we know each other well because we're cousins. Yeah. We're actually second cousins, but you know, your family did Christmas so well, and you know, Tom grew up in beautiful rural Pennsylvania, rolling hills. I mean, it literally was, you just want to see a sleigh ride by with a horse on it, which they did. So, you know, the backdrop was amazing. So, I mean, was it really sort of created by the family and that's what brought it out? Or is it the music that you love? I mean, these songs are,
I think they're tied together, so Steve. I really do. Of course, you know, very nice family, very, very nice family. I sound like Donald Trump. That's hilarious. I'm sorry. I swore. Anyway. Really, I'm have had a wonderful family, and you know, them, you know, Christmas was great because of them. But yeah, I always loved the music, just because, you know what, it's almost like they're tuneful, you know, it's tuneful stuff, you know, easily remembered, and it's all, you know, it's usually happy. There is a few little depressing ones, but that's okay too. And it just for a kid, you know, I mean, you're really forming a lot of core memories that are, you know, that you're going to have to go to the psychiatrist, you know, for 15 years, you know, later on to get rid of. No, I'm kidding. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, it really does sort of help define you or what you see. I am very lucky that I've had very nice Christmases. I know there are a lot of people that it doesn't mean the same thing, and I wish it did. I mean, it certainly takes on a different meaning to me now.
So is it sentimental then why you created these albums, or is it in the music?
You know what, sentimental, I'll tell you what, Steve, that's pretty good. I would say that's about as good an answer as there is. Plus, I like the music, but of course, right, doing the music and whatnot, there's a lot of sentiment in there, and there's a lot of, I mean, there's a couple things that really get me a little bit emotional in that, you know, it really do. I think I got the point across. I really do. I love the stuff. Yeah.
The albums are just fantastic. The first one feels really classic, and the second one are these really fun takes on Christmas music, and that's part of it. It is so fun to hear someone reimagine a song that you know so well, because you can really sort of get into the technique. You know, you know the song so well, so even if you're not classically trained in music, you can hear somebody's interpretation and what it is that they are doing with that song, and right away you know, oh, I love it, I hate it, why did they do it that way, oh, I wish that sound wasn't there, because you've got some sort of idea of what this song should be. So it really, talk about softening and opening and receiving. You got to like really go, all right, I'm going to open to this person's version of this song. And
like anything,
what am I getting from it? So I love that process of when a song you know so well that is sort of already in your cells is reimagined.
Sure.
It really does, you know, it really does draw you right into the actual choices they've made, the choices they've made in instruments, in tempo. Has it been reworked to the point where you just really, is that like chestnuts roasting on an open fire?
Well, okay. Now you pick that one. But that's the beauty of it, man. You got to let people be what they are, right? You know,
you can't
put someone in a cage. You got to let them, you know, even just because their first album sounded like that doesn't mean their third album has to. But just as a quick note, you mentioned the Christmas song. I have an intro on that, and it's like, what the heck is this thing? It's actually the first verse to the song that nobody ever plays, but I did it anyway.
Just
so you know that.
And it's right as rain, actually, right?
It's Mel Torme. He was freaking brilliant. You know, he was just brilliant. Anyway, he was wonderful.
You know, they never play the intro to George Michael's Never Gonna Dance Again, Careless Whisper. That really pisses me off personally.
Many standards, you know, songs consider standards. A lot of them, you know, they don't play an intro or a verse. It's just, I don't know, just how things evolve through the years, you know. So it was really nice to find that. And I actually figured it out off of Mel Torme playing the piano on an old Judy Garland show from like the early 60s. And I found a tape of that and listened to it and was like, you know what, I'm doing this. This is cool. And so I thought that was sort of a unique angle on it. Another real quick thing about Christmas songs, you know what else they are, particularly from the 60s and whatnot, is some of them just remind you of like TV show themes, which I absolutely love. You know, like Andy Griffith or Leave It to Beaver or Dick Van Dyke. And I just, you know, I try to pop stuff like that in there. In fact, I do quote the Leave It to Beaver theme in there once. I do quote a Dick Van Dyke thing in there. So I like that kind of music, and it sort of puts me on the same sort of mindset. So yeah, just doing that was really fun. It was hard, but it was fun.
You know, I got to say I'm really sentimental about those times where we really had theme music. It seems like the creative spark is a little bit missing it. And I, you know, I don't want to blame
these young kids like, today. They just don't.
Yeah. I sound like that. Listen to music today and I just think, oh man, I don't know. This just really isn't inspiring me. What happened? Just get old.
Go find the stuff that inspires you. I mean, because there's so much there. I mean, it's just, you know, don't waste your time on it then, you know, really.
Oh, good point. Good point. Move on. Tim tells me that stuff all the time. And we're approaching the end of the show, and I just want to totally let people know, go to either TomYoder.com. You've got another website. You want to say it, or do you want to wait till it's
Well, TomYoder.com, or I have my own personal page on Facebook, and there's also a Tom Yoder. I guess if you look under musician kind of a thing on Facebook, it's there too. And you can buy the CDs there. You can buy them from my website or at iTunes or at CD Baby. There's, a lot of places.
iTunes iTunes. Always there. I think everybody's pretty much hooked up on iTunes. But
it's a pretty good idea to get in there. Yeah. What?
Go listen to some of these songs. They are really, you will be in awe at your expertise on the acoustic guitar. It is really something. Is it still, before we get to the end, is that your instrument of choice, the acoustic guitar or the electric guitar?
Man, it's guitar. Actually, most of the stuff I've done, in the last several years has been mostly electric, and I'm actually working on like a real shred tune right now, which is it's almost done.
Shred,
Steve Vai kind of a thing, Satriani, Steve Vai kind of a thing, and which I absolutely love, and that's the stuff I played for years. But I'm a guitar player, man. If I got to play acoustic to do something, I'll do it. If I'm gonna play electric, I'll do it. If I have to play piano, I'll do it. Whatever. I'm a terrible pianist, but I can fake it. What?
We didn't get a chance to talk to you, to tell people about you as a teacher, but you are an incredible teacher. You've been teaching people for many, many, many years. You've been teaching guitar.
That's right. And I have a website with a friend of mine called fretboardzen.com. It's up. It's new. So
it's beautiful, actually. And you
can be patient with it. What you're looking teaching. For students. So anybody wants any lessons, I teach over the internet or privately. So I am definitely looking to add students. Go ahead. Sorry, I had to get that in.
Which is great. Which, listen, any listeners out there, go listen to Tom's music. You will know that this man is a master of the guitar. And he's an excellent teacher. Tom, you're gentle. Listen, teachers have to be gentle. You know your stuff. You've been practicing since you're what? How old? When did you grab a guitar?
Actually, what was I, 16, 15, 16, around in there. Young.
You've put your time in, huh? You've put your time in.
Oh, yes.
So, listen, listeners, you want to learn to play guitar? You're doing it on the internet, which I love. You're a modern man, and I love that you have no qualms about the digital age.
I think you got to do it, man. You got to do it, right? otherwise, you're going to get swept out to sea.
Totally. And there you go. There's openness. You just got to be soft. You got to open and you got to receive all that's coming your way. So Tom, it's been really fun. You caught me a few times. I like it. You caught me a few times, being myself and saying, hey, listen to that. So
glad to catch you being yourself. That's a good thing. I'm glad you're yourself. That's a beautiful
thing. So everyone, check out TomYoder.com. It's been great to hear some of your music, and thanks for sending us some. We now have a few more tunes in our pocket. We're always listening to your music. So everyone, Tom, it's been a great hour. Great to be with you. And for listeners, SpiritFireRadio.com. You can find our meditation practice through there, the practice of living awareness. It's always online, always free. Check us out. So Tom, we'll see you.
Thank you very much. It was so nice of you to consider having me and having me on. And I've really enjoyed it. So you guys are great. I really appreciate it. And I love what you're doing.
And, cool. Thanks.
So good for you.
All right. Yeah, it's been a treat to listen to your music all week and more. All right. We'll see you next week on Spirit Fire Radio. It's been great. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to meditation and living with awareness. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover the ways that consciousness is being cultivated in everyday life. Connect to your day in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit spiritfireradio.com.